We all said, amen. Amen. I had to get on my knees kind of different today. I broke my pinky toe on Wednesday. Something that small should never hurt as much as it does. Has anybody ever had an extremity like that? It's just like, come on. Know your place. Well, I'm excited for what God's got in store for us tonight. We're going to resume. We've been doing a series here. How many of you guys have been getting something out of Sunday nights here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center? Man, I tell you, it's just been great. What we've decided to do is to not just take Easter and celebrate that on Easter Sunday, but rather to celebrate a month long of Easter. And so what we've been doing, if you're just joining us, is we've been teaching a series on Sunday nights titled He Lives. And tonight is the third part, the final installment of the He Lives series here at the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. And I just know that God's got something great and mighty in store for us tonight. If you didn't grab a hold of part number one or part number two, Pastor Dan and Pastor Jim brought amazing messages. You can grab those online at rockchurch.com, or you can grab the CD at the CD counter. I encourage you, they'll strengthen, they'll build you up, they'll just encourage you. You won't be the same after hearing the messages, I'll tell you what. But I'm excited for what God's got in store. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. If you've been joining us here on the weekend services, we go through the book of Hebrews line upon line, precept upon precept, and there's just such a wealth of information. Today we're going to find ourselves in Hebrews in the 7th chapter. I have confident expectation that we'll actually be getting there relatively quickly. We have been moving, and we find ourselves today in the Hebrews the 6th chapter starting today. But now we look at Hebrews into the 7th chapter. Now we'll find ourselves maybe within this year, sometime in the next few months, Lord willing, that we'll get through to Hebrews. And I'll tell you what, it's just been such a great and wealth of information. But here in Hebrews, we're talking about the subject of He Lives, talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the majesty behind Jesus. You know, the beautiful thing about Jesus is that He lives. That's a message in itself if you think about it. Every other religion, every other social or religious thought, if you could say it like that, is based off of somebody who came, who taught a message, and died. But Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, lives today. He died on the third day, on that Easter Sunday. We celebrate the resurrection on that third day from the crucifixion. Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. And He ministered to His disciples, He ministered to the multitudes, and He left them with some amazing final thoughts, and then He went to take His place in heaven with God, and there He is at the right hand of God today. And I'm excited for what we've got in store for tonight's message, He Lives Part 3 in Hebrews, the 7th chapter. And Hebrews in the 7th chapter is talking about the subject of priesthood. Now, we're going to look at this. Now, I know that the subject of priesthood to you and I doesn't ring a bell, so to speak, because you and I don't live in a time where we have a high priest as our representation. But we'll take a look in just a little bit about some things that we can compare or some similar traits in our day and age that we can look at and compare to. But they're talking about, in Hebrews, the 7th chapter, is talking about the subject of Jesus Christ, the great high priest. And in Hebrews in the 7th chapter, verse number 23, it says this, also, Hebrews 7:23, also there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. Verse number 23 says, there were many high priests in the span of from the Old Testament to the New Testament to the time of Jesus Christ. There were many high priests. Why? Because you and I are, the Bible tells us that it is appointed for man to die. Nobody has yet found that fountain of youth that they talk about the movies, you know, they talk about in the movies. Nobody has found the pill or been able to freeze themselves and come back thousands or millions of years later. There's no time machines. That's not, it is appointed for man to die. And so because of the limitations of mortal man, because of the limitations of man on our own, we have had many high priests, or there have been many high priests or representatives of God to the people. But look what it goes on to say. Verse number 24, Hebrews in the 7th chapter, verse number 24. But He, speaking of Jesus Christ, but He, because He continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. In verse number 25, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So here we're talking about a compare and a contrast thought out of Hebrews. Here the author of Hebrews paints a picture for you and I, the readers and those he's writing this letter to. And he says there were representations of God to man in the form of high priests, and there were many of them through the generations, but they were all limited by the fact that they were man. Goes on to say further in the book of Hebrews that they were also limited in the fact that they had to make sacrifices and atonements for their sin because they were also imperfect. But now all of a sudden let's put verse number 24 back on. It says to us that Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. An unchangeable priesthood. And then verse number 25 goes on to say that he is able to save to the uttermost. To those who come to God through him, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, and no man goes to the Father except through him. So we know that Jesus is the way to get to God, and he becomes our representation to God. He becomes our great high priest, and he saves forever. And now the Bible tells us that he always lives to make intercession for them, for us, the people that come to God by way of Jesus Christ, the only way we can come. So today I want to take a look at some of the thoughts out of Hebrews in the 7th chapter in the 23rd, 24th, and 25th verse, and take a look at some of the thoughts when we're talking about this subject of He lives. Now I'm going to say this statement, because He lives, and then we'll complete that statement with three simple points out of these verses tonight. So we're looking at the idea and the subject of He lives. And I mean, as we leave tonight, I pray that you be encouraged by the word of the Lord. I know that it's a good word that's in season, but I'm excited for what God's got in store, because as I was preparing this, I know that the hand of God is on this, and I myself was strengthened and encouraged as I was preparing this message. And so I know you will as well, as we talk about, because He, Jesus Christ, our Lord and precious Savior, Jesus Christ, because He lives, number one, He is our once and for all. He is our once and for all. You know, the people in the Old Testament times and the people in the time of Jesus looked to a high priest to be their representation to God. When people wanted to find God, they went to the high priest. They went to the place of the priest. The priest was the representation. He wore the clothes, he wore the linen, and he wore the things that God had prescribed for him to wear. He had a status or a symbol that you could recognize him in a crowd. He didn't just look like somebody out of the ordinary. He stood out. He looked as one of royalty. And he stood in a position of great authority, because he truly was the representation of God to the people. Going back to the time of Moses in the Exodus, when Moses was going before Pharaoh, when God had called Moses to go before Pharaoh, Moses told God, if you recall the story, God, I can't speak. I'm not a good person. That I have a problem with speech. And God said, don't worry. Aaron will do the speaking for you. Aaron will be the mouthpiece for you. And Aaron becomes the first high priest, or the first in the priestly line, as the representation speaking on behalf of God to the people and for the people. And so the people looked to a man, but we read that the man was limited because they died. And so they looked to a man to find God. But much like you and I, how we don't necessarily relate to a high priest, how about this though? We do relate to men to find things in our lives. We have politicians. For example, we have a president. And the president is limited to 8 years in office. So every 4 years or every 8 years, depending on the outcome of the elections, we look to a new man. And when that man comes, that man leads and does things the way they want to do things. How about this? We just witnessed history in the making a few weeks ago and last week when Pope Benedict resigned or relinquished his position as the Pope. And now last week they elected, or they chose, the Catholics chose a new Pope for them, Pope Francis. And now this Pope, in his first speech, you could hear it was all about the buzz in the media, how this Pope is different than that Pope, and how this Pope is different, and he's more humble than this, and his emphasis in life was here. And you see, when we look to a man, it's an always changing thing. Doesn't matter, you know, the Pope, we were talking about this. Some people say that the President of the United States is one of the most influential or the most influential man in the world. But I want to tell you something. I firmly believe, along with what we were discussing, that the Pope is the most influential man in the world because he has 1.2 billion followers that follow him. But we look we look to a man as the answer. We look to a man to show us our connection with God. And what's the answer? What do we do? How do we handle this? But the fact of the matter is that men are limited in our lives. Our leaders are limited in their span of leadership, and they will change. But Jesus Christ is our once and for all. Jesus Christ came, and because he lives, he is our once and for all. Let's look at what it says in Hebrews in the 7th chapter. Going back to Hebrews in the 7th chapter, verse number 24, it says, but he, Jesus Christ, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. You see, now that Jesus has resurrected, when he died and resurrected and rose and ascended on high and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, he has an unchangeable priesthood, that priesthood being the representation. Jesus came and became our representation to God. And it is an unchangeable. We don't have to worry about, well, what happens in 10 years? And what is the attitude of Christianity? Or what is the look of my walk with God going to look like as this leader steps up or as this leader steps up? You know, the truth is that men come and go. There will be a time. You sat under Pastor Jim. There will be a time when Pastor Jim is no longer with us. There will be a time when I'm no longer here. There will be a time when my children are no longer here. There will be a time when you're no longer here. And your children, or your parents, or your family members. Why? Because we are destined to die. It is appointed for man, but Jesus Christ is our once and for all. There is no change. You think about it like this. Maybe you can relate in a sense like this. Maybe you knew somebody or you would frequent a restaurant or a coffee shop or a market or something like that. And you knew it. You knew there was a friend or somebody. I remember I had a friend that was a manager of a fast food chain, or actually it wasn't really a fast food chain, but it was one of those, you know, assembly line ones where you get the burritos and you go down the line. And he was the manager of that chain. And after a while, I began to get this connection, and I would kind of, I don't like special treatment, but every time we'd go in there, I kept telling him, no, I don't want any, and he'd pay for my burrito. Oh, stop it. Stop it. I'm a normal guy. You just let me buy my own burrito. But you kind of get used to it, and you kind of, okay, this is kind of nice. I'll take that discount. You know the guy behind the counter at the coffee store, or you know that friend at the, whatever it might be, you got that connection. I know somebody, right? But then what happens? There's that statement. You kind of wonder, well, when is this going to end? When is this going to stop? You know, that statement, you've heard it before. All good things must what? Come to an end. So you go to the store and you say, wow, I love this. This is great. This is wonderful. I love that connection. I love that free coffee. I love that free burrito. But don't you know there was a time when I went back to that restaurant, and he had moved to another food chain, and he was no longer there. And the manager that was now there didn't know who I was. And so when I kind of looked at him like, hey, they just handed me the bill. And so we have that mentality of, oh, this is good, this is good. This life that we live is, oh, I've got Jesus, and it's good, but when is it going to end? But with Jesus, he's our once and our for all. You see, Jesus is our once and for all. All good things must come to an end except Jesus. Why? He lives. Because he lives. So Jesus is our once and for all. Pastor Jim was talking about repentance today from good works. In our very, or from dead works. In our very essence, mankind, we are a changed nature. How you are today is not how you will be tomorrow. What you're doing in business today will probably not be what you're doing in business tomorrow. You will evolve, you will change, you will continually adapt. My brother-in-law and I were talking about it. He bought what he thought was his dream home. And I was kind of telling him, like, you know, he kind of bought what I thought was my dream home too. And so we were talking and he was kind of complaining about his home. And I was like, dude, you have a home that people stop when it's sunset in the middle of the road, get out of their car and take pictures of your house. And you're complaining about your house? And I told him, I says, you know what the thing is? Is that you got into this thing and you really liked it. But as your needs progressed, you realized, well, I want a bigger yard for my kids to play. Or I want to enjoy this part. Or I want to do this. And I said, we're going to continually change. You're going to move into another home. And you're going to think that that's the home. You're going to think that that's it. That I'm good. And then in 5 or 10 years, your needs are going to change again. And then again, and again, and again, and again. But Jesus Christ is our great high priest. Jesus Christ has an unchanging priesthood. This relationship that we live will continually change. But why? Because Jesus is our great high priest. Because he doesn't change. Our change only gets for the better as we grow in our relationships with Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, and I'll just put it up on the overhead. The Bible tells us in Hebrews the 13th chapter this. Verse number 8, that Jesus Christ, the name above all names, Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and that's it. Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, next week. The same yesterday, today, for the rest of 2013. There's the same yesterday, today, and while the economy is bad and we're looking for him, he's the same. No, Jesus Christ is the same. What? Yesterday, today, and forever. He is our great high priest, an unchanging priest. Why? Because he lives. He conquered the final battle of life, the one that nobody else could, death. And because he overcame death, made a spectacle of what Satan and the enemy had thought they had victory, and the Bible tells us that he made a spectacle of it, he is unchanging, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so while we go through the highs and the lows of life, and so while we go through the ups and the downs of business and of finance and economics, so while we go through the ins and the outs of relationships, and we're ever changing, and our thought process is ever evolving, and our lives seem to never stand still, you and I have a cornerstone, a solid rock, a foundation, Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who is our great high priest, our representation that is unchanging, so you and I can go through all the phases of life we want. Jesus Christ is our one and only. And if we focus on business, if we focus solely on family, or if we focus to find our meaning in relationships, or from men or from women, or focus to find our identity in those things, we are destined to change. But when we focus to find our identity, our representation, who we are, the Bible says, through those who come to God through Christ, when we find out and realize that we are in Christ, it doesn't matter what the changes of life are, because now we know that the foundation on which we stand is one built on solid rock. Like Jesus told Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. Hey, did you know something? Did you know something? This is just an address. You are the church. And Jesus says, upon this rock, I will build my church. You and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus, our great high priest. Amen. Praise God. Because he lives. Number two, because he lives. Jesus is our great high priest. Because he lives. Number two, he is able to save. I love that word, able. 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 It's an action word. Are you able to bench press 700 pounds? Are you able to leap an entire building in a single mound? hey, are you able to save mankind? Jesus is. Jesus is able to save. There's an ability there. And there's an ability there. Why? He is able because he lives. Think about it like this. The ability of Christ because he lives. If Jesus would have came and been the propitiation for our sins and the sacrifice for our sins and died on the cross and stayed there, an innocent man dying for the sins of a guilty man, that would have been a tragic victory. That would have been forgotten in the records of history because it's been done before. I remember there's this movie that I watched. I see it. It's on TV every once in a while. Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg did it. It was a war movie. And there was this group of Army Rangers that were sent on a mission to find a private somewhere deep inside of occupied Germany. And they went on this mission, and they finally caught up at the end of the movie with this young man, and his brothers had all died. And they caught up with this young man, and their mission was to find him and bring him back. But this man says, I'm not going to leave my troops. I'm not going to leave my fellow soldiers. This is our mission. We're going to hold this bridge. And so they said, okay, let's fortify the place. And the movie goes on, and the Germans come, and everybody dies. And at the end of the movie, the captain that was responsible for the life of this young private, as he's breathing his last breath, being wounded mortally, looks to this young private and he says to him, earn this. If you remember the movie, if you've ever seen that, then the private's face is shocked from that statement. And then his face morphs to where now he's an old man standing over the captain's grave. And he looks to his wife with sorrow in his eyes and with guilt in his heart. And he looks to his wife and he falls to his knees and he says, tell me I lived a good life. Tell me I lived a life worth of saving. Tell me I was worth saving. And his wife comforts and consoles him. If Jesus came and said, I died on the cross, earn this, where would have been the victory? We would have carried this guilt and this weight and this sorrow. But no, Jesus has the ability to save. Why? Because he died on the cross. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead and he made a public spectacle of death, dragging it through the streets, shouting it from the mountaintops. The disciples, 2,000 years later, preserved in the Word of God. We preach it, we live it, we believe it. Why? Because he is able to save. Why? Because he lives. In Hebrews, in the 7th chapter, verse number 25, it says, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. To the uttermost, do you know what that means? There aren't limitations based on Jesus' salvation. He's not limited by gravity. He's not limited by time zones. He's not limited by age. He's not limited by lack of communication. He's not limited. Why? Because he lives. But I want to present a thought to you. Jesus is not bound by limitations in 1 Peter the 3rd chapter, verse number 18. We'll put it up on the screens. For Christ also suffered once for sins. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the what? By the Spirit. Made alive by the Spirit. In our day and age, doctors have revived people who have died. You've seen it on the movies. You've seen the ER and the different, you know, different movies and TV shows, and they rub the little things together and clear, you know, it's clear, and pulse comes back. We've seen that. We've seen great ministers from our day and age all the way through to the time of history that have had the gift of faith upon them to go, and people have rose from the dead. We've seen it in the disciples when Peter rose Tabitha from the dead. We've seen it from Jesus when he called Lazarus out from the grave. Lazarus!
forth. But here's the thought. He was killed in the flesh. But who stood at his grave and said, Jesus, come forth? No man. No man. But the Spirit of God, the power of God inside Jesus Christ brought him. He was raised from the dead by the Spirit of God. No one, no one, no one has ever done that. And no one ever will. Because we talked about it. He's our once and for all. Jesus did what nobody could do. And because he did what nobody could do, the Bible tells us he's the name above all other names. The Bible tells us he's the power above all other powers of the things in this world and things to come, the things that are named and the things that aren't even named. Doesn't matter what science says. It doesn't matter how big the universe is. Guess what? God is bigger. And Jesus, because he was made alive by the Spirit of God, is bigger than all of that. The earth is his footstool. All because he lives. He is able to save. And he has given you and I the gift, the privilege to be in the family, to be made, so that you and I could be the representations of Jesus Christ, who is our representation to God, to those who are lost and dying, so that we could share the love of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, so that they would find that Jesus Christ is able to save. Not us. Hey, nobody gets saved because somebody says good things during an altar call. They get saved by the goodness of God, the Bible says, that draws men to repentance. Why? It's the presence and the power of God. The same presence and the power of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same presence and power of God that saves us to the uttermost. Because he lives. Amen? One more, and this is my favorite. This is my favorite. We already knew this was coming. We knew this one was coming, and this is my favorite. Number three today, because he lives, number three today, because he lives, he is our mediator. He is our mediator. The Bible says in Hebrews, the 7th chapter, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Speaking of those who come to Christ, to God through him. He lives to make intercession for us. You think about this. There are statements in the Bible that oftentimes we read over these verses. We read through them and, oh, they're good. Praise God. Hallelujah. But there's a gravity to them. There's a weight. You know what I'm saying when I say that there's a gravity to it? There's something about it. It's huge. Think about this. Not only did Jesus Christ take your sins upon the cross and die, not only did he take them upon the cross and die and raise, not only did he take them upon the cross and die and raise from the dead, but then he ascended to heaven, and there he is in heaven. And guess what? He didn't forget about you there. But now he lives to make intercession for you. The word intercession means this: the action of intervening on behalf of another, to entreat or to ask earnestly on behalf of somebody else. So imagine this, Jesus Christ, seated at heaven, your and my mediator. That when we go through the trials and the sins and the mistakes of life, Jesus Christ is there pleading on our behalf, speaking on our behalf, believing on our behalf, working on our behalf. But he couldn't do that if he died and stayed in the grave. He could only do that because he lives. Because he always lives to make intercession for us. Ooh, that's good, that's good, that's good. Oh, hallelujah. Paul makes a statement in Romans, the 8th chapter. If you got your Bible, turn with me to Romans in the 8th chapter. Paul makes a statement in Romans, the 8th chapter. In the beginning of Romans, the 8th chapter, Paul makes a statement. And then he continues on Romans in the 8th chapter, backing up that statement with doctrine of Jesus Christ. And in Romans, the 8th chapter, at the end, towards the end of Romans in the 8th chapter, in verse number 31, As Paul is backing up this statement, as he writes to the church in Rome, he says this. He says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us?" If God is for us, who could be against us? Remember we talked about gravity? Do you remember when we just talked about gravity, about a weightiness? This is one of those weightiness, all right? You got to get this. You got to shake it off. You know, come on. Think about it here. He's asking you a question. If God is for us, who can be against us? Goes on to say, verse number 32, if God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, Jesus Christ, also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Remember, we talked about Jesus making intercession. He is able to save those who come to God through him. Who can bring a charge against those who come to God through Christ? It is God who justifies. So he goes on to say, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, and even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who can bring a charge against those who come to God by way of Jesus Christ? Who can judge those who find God through Jesus Christ? Now, I said Paul made it a statement, and then he backed it up. Let's go backwards in Romans, the 8th chapter, first verse. Put it up on the overhead, guys. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Paul says, you don't live a life of condemnation. Now, we can take that verse and go crazy with it. Oh, hallelujah, no condemnation. Where's the bar? But then he backs that statement up out of Romans, the 8th chapter, the entire thing. Because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus is our one and only. Jesus is the one that we stand on. Jesus has the ability or the power to save because he lives, and Jesus is our intercessor. He is our mediator. So let me tell you something. There is a time when man is appointed to die, and you will face the decisions and the actions for your life at judgment. You will. You can't escape it. You cannot escape it. All men will die at some point, unless the Lord tarries and we're taken with him. But then we will stand before the throne of judgment and make an account for our life. And they'll throw the book at you. Every decision you've ever made, every mistake you've ever made, every bad word you've ever said. A couple of us have that's a big book. And there's a weight. And when the gavel is about to come down, because our lives were worthy of the death penalty, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, who's at the right hand of the Father, sits there as our intercessor. Jesus Christ is our great defense attorney. And as the gavel is about to come down on our judgment, Jesus says, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. And he stands on our behalf, raises his hands to show the scars that we put in his hands, to show that when we are in Christ, because he lives, he makes intercession for us. And he pleads our defense before eternity. And the condemnation that would once have sent us to hell because we deserved it is gone, because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. All because he reigns. Did you guys get something out of the Word of the Lord today? Give the Lord a great big praise. God is good. Amen.